Hey folks, over the past several weeks, we have been looking at a series that I've called Transforming Turmoil, Finding Peace in the Storm. But you know what? This week is good. It's a little special week as we head into Sunday. It is one of the most celebrated days on the Christian calendar, and we want to choose to celebrate that as well. That is Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm going to break suit on our series just for this week, because boy, we surely would not be doing justice if we didn't talk about the resurrection of our Savior. So grab your Bible, turn it over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk about our hope and our assurance in Jesus Christ. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I am so glad that you are joining us today. A moment ago, I mentioned that we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, that deal with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I know we're in the middle of a series. Just hold on to what you've got. I'll mention the scriptures at the end of this Bible study that we're going to look at in continuing our series next week. But I certainly did not want to let this moment go by without us spending a little bit of time and talking about the resurrection of our Savior. You know, we're celebrating Easter this coming Sunday, and Easter is a time of great celebration for Christians all around the world. It marks the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, this event is not just a historical occurrence. It's the cornerstone. It's a chief cornerstone of our faith. You see, without the resurrection, there wouldn't be the opportunity for salvation. Without the resurrection, Jesus would be just another great teacher or a great reformer, whatever you might call him. But what sets him aside is the resurrection. And today, we're going to explore the significance of the resurrection, specifically through the lens of our scripture. Now, I mentioned just a little while ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28. Now, again, this is one of those stories that you find an account of in all the Gospels. You can read about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But today, for the sake of our Bible study, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 28, specifically verses 1 through 10, and they read as follows. Read along with me. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Verse 4, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Verse 8, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren and go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and we're so, so thankful for your resurrection. Lord, we're thankful that through the resurrection, you conquered sin, death, and hell, and you provide for each and every one of us the opportunity for eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, today I pray that as we lift you up, that you would truly speak to each and every individual that is within the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray if there's one that is a hearer today that do not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today truly would be the day they would give their life to you and understand what living truly is all about. Lord, I pray that you use me as your messenger for these moments. Father, use me as a vessel to be able to disseminate your word to your children. And Lord, we'll praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, every time I read these particular scriptures that deal with the resurrection, it always really gets my blood pumping. And you know what? This year, even more so than in the past, because as many of you know, I had that opportunity to actually go and visit Israel this past December. And man, I'm going to tell you one thing. As I was reading through this particular text this time, I was actually in this tomb. That brings a whole new perspective to what's going on. I was actually where it talks about when Mary stuck her head into the tomb and the angels that she saw, and I can imagine what it was like when they came running out. Now, if I had the opportunity, I would be able to share the video with you where I've got actually a video where I walk into the tomb and look around and then come out of the tomb, and just to give you a visual perspective of what that was like. But who knows, I may try to do that Sunday at the Sunday worship service, or at least be able to show you that. But as we look at the particular events that we're dealing with today in the gospel message, the events that are surrounding the resurrection, they took place in a time where there was a lot of despair for Jesus' followers. You got to think about what was going on. You got to remember that the Old Testament law had been, you know, propagated for so many years. That was what you learned. You were to follow the law. If you were a believer, this is what you did. And now Jesus has come onto the scene. He's with his followers, and he is introducing essentially a radical new way of doing things. They wouldn't have to go make sacrifices of animals. They wouldn't have to go through the priest to get to God anymore. That through Jesus, there was going to be an incredible new thing that was going to take place. Now, you got to remember that he's had the Last Supper with them as we get to the particular point of essentially his crucifixion. And what's happened is, you know, when you think about this, Jesus has tried to get it across to his disciples that he was going to resurrect on the third day. He kept telling them this. But imagine the confusion that was taking place. You know, after he has come out of the upper room, he is arrested. There is the mock trial, as it were. They watched Jesus be beaten. They watched all of the antics that took place and those who had crucified Jesus. And then they actually watched him die on a cross when he gave up the ghost. They have watched him take Jesus down. They've watched them bury him. See, could you imagine what it must have been like to have been one of his disciples thinking, well, what's going on? This is a time of great despair for Jesus' followers. After his crucifixion, the disciples were filled with fear and they were filled with confusion. Remember, they had witnessed the burial of their teacher, and essentially they were grappling with the loss of hope. I mean, nobody had ever resurrected from the dead before. Now, yeah, in keeping, Jesus brought some out. Remember, Jesus is the one who called Lazarus out of the tomb. But yet, they were sitting there thinking, people just don't come back from the dead. And that's a challenge that you and I also face today. When we sit back and we try to wrap our minds around this, often this is not something you can wrap your mind around, because it's not every day that you would see somebody that resurrects from the dead. Now, his disciples are going through this same struggle. You know, they're trying to hold on to hope, but they have just watched Jesus be buried. Now, the resurrection was not just a miraculous event, but it was also the fulfillment of Jesus' promise and really the turning point for all of humanity. So in our passage that we're dealing with today, we see Mary Magdalene and the other Mary approaching the tomb. Now, think about it for a moment. There's a lot of symbolism in here as well as reality. Their journey symbolizes the search for hope amidst despair. Now, you got to remember, when Mary went down there, she didn't go down there to see if Jesus had resurrected. We know that from the scripture text and in the other accounts through the gospel that she was going down there to prepare the body for burial. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, why was she going to do that? He was already buried. You have to remember the Sabbath was approaching. So when Jesus was buried, it was done in a hurriedly fashion. And she wanted to make sure that it was done right. So as she went down to the tomb, she was going there to do the work of an undertaker. She wasn't going down there thinking, you know, I plan to find an empty tomb. I plan to see my Messiah resurrected. No, Their journey also yet to the tomb symbolizes a search for hope amidst despair. Why? Because they had seen Jesus crucified. They had seen him buried, and hope was dwindling fast. You see, as they got there, the angels greeted them as well. The angel's message is a very, very powerful one. What was it that the angel said? The angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen." Boy, I tell you, every time I just say that, it gives me chills. He is not here. I think about that. When I walked into that tomb, I thought to myself, he is not here. Matter of fact, I think I say that on the video. I looked around and I found exactly what I thought I would find in that tomb. Nothing, because Jesus has resurrected. He is not here. Words of the angels. He is not here, for he is risen. This proclamation is the heart of the gospel. You see, the stone being rolled away, there was symbolism in that as well. That stone being rolled away signifies that death has been defeated. It has been conquered. The fear and the joy experienced by the women reflect the very impact of encountering the risen Christ. Man, what a blessing that is. Jesus' appearance to them reinforces his victory over death and his desire to restore relationships with his followers. Think about that for a minute. These women had watched Jesus be crucified. They watched him being buried in the tomb. And now there's a conversation. They're having a conversation with him. Boy, what a pointed way of saying, hey, look, you know, I'm not here. And I love what it is that Jesus had always said to his disciples. You know, I told you I wasn't going to be here long. Now, I'm paraphrasing this as well. He had tried to teach his disciples all along that he was only going to be in that tomb for three days. He was going to resurrect on the third day. And they just didn't seem to get that. And sometimes you and I are the same way. We hear these things and we kind of get a head knowledge of them, but do we have a heart knowledge of them? But when Mary had the opportunity to see and to speak to Jesus, everything became real. So there's a lot of symbolism going on here as well. Now, let's think about the theological significance. See, the resurrection is central to our Christian faith. It is central to our theology. It confirms Jesus as the Son of God, and it validates his teaching. See, Paul emphasized this over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Okay? See, the resurrection assures us of our own future resurrection, and it assures us of eternal life. See, it signifies that sin and death do not have the final word. And see, that's the way it was before Christ. You know, sin and death pretty much had the final word. But through Christ, through his resurrection, there is victory. See, our faith is built on the reality that Jesus conquered the grave, and he is offering us hope and a promise of a new life. I always like to point this out, particularly when we have communion. And it wasn't very long ago that we had communion in our church. But one of the things that you think about is when you take the cup, and the verbiage in the New Testament says this. It says, in a like manner, when he supped, he took the cup and he said this. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So what was the new covenant? The new covenant meant that you didn't have to go and sacrifice the animals, like I was mentioning before, repeatedly, over and over again. Jesus said, I am the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. So if you trust me and you are covered with the blood of the Lamb, and you will have eternal life through Jesus Christ in the place called heaven. What? How glorious is that? Sin, death, and hell were conquered through this resurrection. The biggest issues and the biggest problems we have were solved when he walked out of that tomb. So as we think about this, and as we reflect on the resurrection, as we think about it not only today, as we think about it leading into Sunday when we will celebrate his resurrection, we are called to live in light of this truth that we're reading about in the passage today. We should approach our lives with the assurance that Christ is alive, and that he is very, very active in our hearts. This means living with hope. What is hope? Now, when I talk about hope, I'm talking about spiritual hope. I'm not saying hope as in you look outside and you say, I hope it doesn't rain today. Hope means that we trust and believe in what Christ accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. He is our hope. Even in difficult circumstances, these are the things that we need to hold on to. See, we are encouraged to share this good news with others. I love it. I can imagine what it must have been like, the excitement of the two Marys. And first of all, they were told, listen, you go and tell the brethren. And that's what they did. She went and told them. But could you imagine being able, how exciting it would be to share that with other people? Listen, we're talking about the resurrected Christ. Folks, it's no different today than it was back then. He is resurrected. He went through the grave and came out one time, once for one and all. So the same Jesus that we're saved through his shed blood, that same one that came out of that tomb is the same one that you and I attribute our salvation to today. So it's no different. So the women were instructed to go tell the disciples. I'm sure that was an exciting time. So how about you and I following their example? Let us be bold in our faith, knowing that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. Man, I'll tell you, I cannot say this enough. Some people may even get tired of hearing this, but yeah, when I stood in that tomb and saw that nothing was there, it brought new perspective. It brought perspective to something I've always known. It brought perspective to something that I have always believed, but boy, it was a reinforcement to look around and to see that empty tomb and to see the same thing I believe that Jesus saw when he stepped out of the tomb. And it all happened like right there. That to me still just blows my mind. I don't know. It's hard to explain. So one of the things that you and I need to do is we need to be bold in our faith, knowing, not thinking, knowing that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you and I. Let me give you a little scriptural reference for that. Go look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. I've always challenged you. I said, I don't want you to just believe what you hear from the pulpit or what you hear from teachers. You need to prove it through God's word yourself. So that point that I just gave you, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, talks about the power of the resurrection. And boy, that's what we want to celebrate. I'm looking so forward to this coming Sunday when we get to celebrate. Not that we just have to wait every year to celebrate. Man, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day through living out our salvation in him. But what a great, great time to reach out to the world. From the church circles, as it were, you hear that old story and then people say, oh, it's going to be an important Sunday this coming Easter Sunday because we'll celebrate the resurrection and we'll see the Christers. And that's a term used in the circles, which means we're going to see the people that only come two times a year to church. They come on Christmas and Easter, and thus they have been nicknamed the Christers. Listen, man, whatever your situation, whatever your condition is, it doesn't matter to me if you're a Christer. Show up so we can celebrate the resurrection this coming Sunday. Listen, if you're in another part of the world from us or wherever you may be, find you a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and go celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is not merely a historical event, but it is the foundation of our faith and it is the source of our hope. Now again, biblical hope, not hope like I hope it doesn't rain, but something that we can draw strength from because we know, okay? So as we celebrate Easter, let us remember the significance of the empty tomb and the promise of a new life. Man, I hope that just gets you as giddy as it gets me. You know, one thing, and I'll say, I heard a guy told me this one time, and I have never forgotten it, and I thought, I love that moniker. He said, man, he said, when the Lord saved you, you never got over it. And I hope and pray I never get over it, because I'm as excited about Jesus today as I was the first day that he came into my life. I sit back and I think about the fact that it's been 33 years that I've been preaching the gospel full time, as it were, and it seems like only yesterday. And I hope and pray that I will still be as excited about Jesus the day he calls me home as I am when I have the opportunity to come before you. I remember day one, how exciting it was to know Jesus, and day one is still around after all these years. Because I was little, I was 5 or 6 years old when I trusted Jesus Christ. I was 15 years old when he called me into full-time Christian service. And buddy, it has been an incredible journey. That doesn't mean that there haven't been ups and downs. Certainly there have, but you know, there've been ups and downs in all of our lives. But boy, the resurrection gives us a hope that is just incredible. May we live each and every day with the joy and the assurance that comes from knowing our Savior is alive. We say this very often around Central Baptist Church, and I will say he is risen, and they will respond with he is risen indeed. And you probably do that as well if you're around a church or spend any time, particularly around Easter Sunday. You know, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And I trust and hope and pray that this coming Sunday, as we gather to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, that you will be there with a full heart, ready to just celebrate our Savior Jesus Christ, and to be there with all that you know, to give us an opportunity to shout out his name, to lift up our voices in praise, and to truly celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I hope to see you this Sunday. Listen, if you're in our area, be sure to come by and see us. We're at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. The website you'll see on the screen there, you can Google that for more information. You can certainly call the church. We'll give you directions, but we would love to see you come together and enjoy the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you in just a moment, I'm going to give you the scripture that we'll be looking at for next week. Again, I ask that you forgive me for breaking suit in our series, but I didn't want this opportunity to go by as we head into Resurrection Sunday. I wanted to make sure we discuss the resurrection here on the Bible study as well. But let me pray with you, and then I'll tell you what your scriptures are for next week as we continue on with our sermon series. All right, let's pray together. Father, as we come to you, we want to thank you for the gift of your Son and the power of his resurrection. Lord, I pray that you will help us to live in the light of this truth and to share the hope that we have in Christ with all those that we come in contact with. May our lives reflect the joy of the resurrection, and may we always remember that you are with us. Lord, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I mentioned a moment ago that we're in a series. We've been in our series, and we have, the series title is Transforming Turmoil, and I subtitled it Finding Peace in the Storm. So next week, or actually your reading for this week is going to be Philippians chapter 4, particularly verses 6 and 7 is what we're going to be dealing with. Now most of you all, if you're following along, that was what you thought we were going to be doing today, but I didn't want to miss talking about the resurrection. So Philippians chapter 4, specifically verses 6 and 7. Next week, as we come together for the Wednesday Bible study, we're going to look at overcoming frustration through prayer. I hope and pray that you will join us. As always, we invite you to join us at Central Baptist Church. Sunday services start at 10:45 a.m. If you need any information, please give us a call. You can find us online, or you can reach out to us. We would love to have you celebrate Resurrection Sunday this coming Sunday at Central Baptist. Hope to see you there. God bless. Love you. Bye. Thank you.